The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
Just join me and pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity just to be here and to just be a part of a body. Just a body that you are the head of. And I just ask that as I speak, Lord, that you allow me to speak what you have put on my heart and allow your words to go forward. And may we see you in this message, and may we just see you everywhere we go, Lord. And just through your name that we pray. Amen. So, was it a couple weeks ago? Because, yeah, church got canceled last week. Tracy was asking, like, why do we engage Scripture? And I meet with some guys on Wednesday, and I had shared, you know, why I engaged Scripture, especially early on in my faith, and then, you know, as I continue to engage Scripture, and it was a very simple thought. I like to think I'm a simple person, like I just have simple thoughts, but I mull them over a lot. And my simple thought, it was just three words, and I didn't have a chance to share it, but I get the opportunity to share it here. And my simple thought of why I engage Scripture, why do I engage Scripture, and why did I engage Scripture, and why do I continue to engage Scripture? And it's just three words. You can put up three fingers. It's okay. Three fingers. Yes. All right. Okay. Three words. To see Jesus. Simple thought. We're done. Amen. So three words, to see Jesus. And I continue to just kind of mull that thought over. The Lord usually gives me a simple thought. He knows I can't handle a complex one. So he gives me a simple thought and allows me to just continue to turn it over in my mind. I like the concept of chewing the cud, you know. That's where you continue to chew it, vomit it, chew it up a little bit more, vomit it up, chew it. That's what I do with my thoughts. So that's what I did with this. It's like to see Jesus. You know, I really like it hit me, and I thought about that, and that's why I engage Scripture. I engage it to see Jesus. And when I say to see Jesus, I mean much more than just literally see Jesus, like, hey Jesus, what's up? I mean actually see him. See him with my whole heart, see him with my whole mind, to see him, to understand him, to embrace him. And I do that as I engage the Word of God, because that shows me and that allows me to truly see Jesus. So my simple thought, it was to see Jesus. And I continued to mull it over. And I had to chuckle to myself because I really saw how the Lord used that simple phrase just so much in my life. Even back to like one of my greatest fears. Like, one of my greatest fears was always the thought that I could go blind. Like, that's still a huge fear. The thought that I could go blind, the thought that you know, I couldn't see my beautiful wife smile. I couldn't see my daughter dance. I couldn't see my son play and serve. Like, just the thought of going blind like that. Dark. Nothing. Like, this terrifying to me. Like, it would be revolutionary in my life to go blind. And it always bothered me that I could go blind. I have a medical condition. I could go blind. And that's frightening. And then as I continued to just mull over, you know, but then, you know, I want to see Jesus. And I started to realize, you know, it's like, you know, I have three questions that the Lord has always given me. And it's three questions that when I engage Scripture that I'm always pretty much asking. And it's something, there were three questions that mattered to me that the Lord gave me, especially early on in my faith. And then even as I engage both my brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as people who don't know the Lord. It's three questions. They to me are everything hinges on them. And it's just simple questions. It's, who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? And why does it matter? And I know, again, like, you know, my thoughts are usually very simple, or at least I think they are. It seems like a simple question. Simple questions. Who is Jesus? What did he do? And why does it matter? And the thought process of seeing Jesus, those three questions are always answered. Whenever I think of how I see Jesus or engaging Scripture and seeing Jesus, I'm answering who he is, what he did, and why it matters. And when I thought back about how my fear of going blind and how that kind of, like, you know, fits into this spiritual thought process, I realized that, you know, for so long, I was blind. I was blind. I was spiritually blind. I didn't see Jesus. Honestly, none of us saw Jesus at one point in our life. You know why? Because John 1, 9 through 11, I love all the, we had a lot of John references today, so it's really good, kind of just teed me up. John 1, 9 through 11, it actually puts it this way. It says that the true light, and it's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the true light. So who is he? He's the true light. So the true light, which gives light to everyone else, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his very own, and his own people did not receive him. Just don't miss the heartbeat of this. So see it. See it with me, guys. That light came into the world. Jesus came to his own people, and they were blind to it. Jesus, the light of the world, came to the people who should have recognized him, but they rejected him. That was the Israelites 2,000 years ago, and that was us. He has come to his people, but we didn't see him. And why didn't we see him? Well, because Jesus put it this way in John 3, 19 and 20. He says that the light has come into the world. Again, that's Jesus. He has come into the world. And people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. So ultimately, we love doing our wicked things. We may not think that what we're doing is wicked. We may think, like, you know, I love my family. That's not a wicked thing. Well, if you love your family more than you love Jesus, then it is sin. So anything that you're doing that you embrace more than Jesus, it's sin. It's the wicked things. And so Christ tells us, it's like, you know, light came into the world. We embraced darkness. We were blind. We did not see him. And again, see the truth with me, guys. See the truth with me. You and I are blind, or we were blind. We rejected the light. We loved darkness more than Jesus. And it may sound grim, but I mean, we truly did. We were wicked. But I love Scripture whenever it says, but God. Because that's probably the greatest two words to be connected. But God. So I am wicked. I'm desperately evil. I embrace my darkness. I embrace my blindness so much more than I embrace the light. But God. And Titus 3 kind of sums it up this way. He says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, again, Jesus, appeared, he saved us. Not because of any works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, friends, again, don't miss seeing Jesus. When you engage Scripture, don't miss seeing Jesus. Don't miss it. Because did you see, just in that little passage, did you see who Jesus is? Did you see what Jesus did? And do you even understand why it matters? Those are three big questions in seeing Jesus. Don't miss it. It's fun. You guys are going to watch the Gospel of John after this, because I actually had a little bit of passage more for the Gospel of John to unpack, and it's the beginning. So in the Gospel of John, just using that as little excerpt of seeing Jesus and seeing how those three questions of who Jesus is, what he did, and why it matters flesh out. John, at the end of his gospel, John actually tells us in John 20, 30, and 31, he tells us the whole purpose for him writing his gospel. He says that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written, so everything else that's contained in the gospel of John, are written that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Again, three questions. Who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? And why does it matter? And it's summed up right there. So who is Jesus? Well, let's see how John puts it. He says he's the Messiah, the Son of God. Okay, that's a great concept, but what does that matter? You know, what does that matter? Well, it matters because of what he did as the Messiah and the Son of God. So what did he do? Well, he did everything, as John puts it in those two verses, everything that John had previously written about. So he did all of those things. And so just recap real quick, what happens in the Gospel of John? Well, Jesus, he turns water into wine, right? He heals the lame and the sick. He feeds the multitudes. He raises the dead. And those are great things, but the heart of everything that he does, you know, don't miss it, because there's so much more. John 1, 3 through 4 tells us that through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. The him there is still talking about Jesus. So don't miss seeing who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. What did he do? Well, he made all things. He doesn't just make it. He sustains all things. John 1, 4 through 5 continues it. It says that in him, so again, in Jesus, that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. John 8, 12, it says, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So what does Jesus do? Well, he is the life, and he brings light, which purges the dark. He takes away your blindness. You can see because of Jesus. And you see Jesus. John 16, 33, it continues. He says, what else does Jesus do? Well, he says, I have said these things to you, that in me you have peace. Whew. In the world you will have tribulation, but will have the light of life. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So what else does Jesus do? Well, he brings peace. And it's so much more than just like a cease to war. That's so much more than just like, oh, goodwill and harmony towards others. There is a spiritual embodiment of there is a cease. You, prior to seeing and accepting Jesus in your life, were fighting against God. That's all it was. You were losing miserably, but you gave over everything to fight against God, whether or not you realize that you were. But because of who Jesus is as the Son of God and the Messiah, and because of what Jesus has done, you have peace. You no longer are in a war against God. There is a peace that he has given you. There's also an assurance that as you face the troubles that are going to happen while you're here, again, the assurance is that he has already overcome all the troubles here that you will experience. And as you embrace that, just remember to see Jesus, because he is the one who's bringing that peace. He is the one who has overcome the world. And then continuing, so what else did Jesus do? Because again, these three questions, who is Jesus, what did he do, and why does it matter, still unpacking. What else did he do? Well, John 12, 12:28 and 32, it says, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven and it said, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So this culmination of what did Jesus do? Well, he glorified the Father. And he did this by being lifted up. It's not just, oh, we lifted him up for he is a jolly good fellow. No, he was lifted up in order to be crucified. He glorified the Father by being crucified on the cross, by being obedient to the Father. And what did this do? This made the way. This is how he was able to draw people to himself, by being crucified. So what did Jesus do? Well, he was crucified on the cross in order to glorify God the Father, in order to draw people to himself, because that is the only way the path of peace could be made. And then John 20, I just summed it up with, he rose from the grave. He didn't just stay dead. He rose from the grave. He showed his power over death. He is resurrected. He is the first fruits of that. Why does any of this matter? Why does, who is Jesus, what did he do, and why does it matter? You know, why does any of that matter from the Gospel of John? Well, again, in John 20, 31, he summed it up. Well, why does it matter? Well, because by believing, you may have life in his name. Me, you, all of us. By believing in Jesus, we have life through who he is and what he did. So we now have life by believing in Jesus. This belief is our faith in who he is, what he did. And we live out why it matters. Because we now have this life. We now, who were dead, we were dead in our trespasses. We were blind. We did not see God. We did not see Jesus. We were destitute. We are now alive in Christ. We who were slaves to sin are now heirs with Christ. We who were dead and just, well, honestly, in a battle against God, we are now adopted into the family of God. We are his children. And this is all because of who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters. And so continue as we engage Scripture. Remember that. See Jesus. See everything as you're seeing, whether it's in the old or the new. See who he is. See what he did and experience why it matters. And I just, again, so friends, like if you're weak and weary, if you're beaten down, if you're discouraged and tired in this life, and that's just not saying if you don't know Jesus, but that's even if you're saying you do know Jesus, because you can feel all of that. If you are experiencing all of that, I invite you to see who Jesus is. He is the Redeemer. He is the one who has overcome the world. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He is life. He is the hope of the world, and he is your only light in darkness. He is the only way that you can see. Again, so friends, if you're weary, if you're weak, if you're beaten down, if you're discouraged, and if you're tired of this life, I invite you to see what Jesus did and what he still does. He takes your burdens. He gives you his spirit. He strengthens you. He renews your spirit, and he purges the darkness from your life. He pays for your sins. He takes your unrighteousness and he gives you his righteousness. He brings you into the family of God. Don't miss seeing Jesus. Don't miss seeing who he is and what he does. And friends, again, if you are weak and weary and beaten down and discouraged and tired of this life, I invite you to see why, who Jesus is and what he does even matters. Because without him, you remain as you are. You remain in darkness. You remain weak and weary. You're blinded. You remain defeated and discouraged. You're destitute in your own life and power. But with him, with Jesus, you are a new creation. You are made to testify about who he is, about who Jesus is, and about what he does. And you live and experience that peace with God and that victory over this world. You live out why it matters. It's just, I can't get over it enough. Like, if you don't see who Jesus is, if you don't see what Jesus did, and if you don't see the significance of why it even matters, then you are blind. You're not alone. I was there. There's still so many people who are blind. But you are blind. Understand this, that you were created and are literally being sustained by Jesus. Yet you're still blind to see him. Don't miss it. Colossians 1, 15 through 20, it puts it this way. He, again, always talking about Jesus. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. So that's you and me. That's everything that's around us. That's all the creation. All of it's been created by Jesus. It's both visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him, Jesus, and for him, Jesus. Catch that. You have a purpose. What is that purpose? Well, simply put here, it's to be for Jesus. And he is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. All things, that even includes your DNA. Everything about your existence is being held together by who Jesus is and what he does. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the first fruits from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, again, Jesus, it's all about Jesus. All the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. I know that's a whole nother passage there I just kind of tossed out, but don't miss it, friends. Don't miss seeing Jesus. Who is Jesus? Well, again, from that passage, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the supreme one of all existence because he is the pre-existing one. So in other words, he's eternal one. He has no beginning or ending. He is the head of the church. He is the first fruit of the resurrected ones. Friends, there is a resurrection to come. When you die, that's not where you stay. There is a resurrection to come. He is the fullness of God dwelling in our midst. Friends, do you see Jesus? Do you actually see Jesus? Then you'll know what Jesus did. And what did Jesus do according to this passage? Well, he created and sustains all that exists. He reconciled all things by making peace through shedding his blood on the cross. Friends, do you see Jesus? Why does it matter? Well, because you and I, like we who were once alienated and hostile, doing evil deeds, can now present ourselves as holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Friends, do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus? Do you see who he is, what he did, and why it matters? When I engage scripture, I see Jesus. I look for Jesus. I embrace seeing who he is, what he has done, and why it matters. And no matter what you do when you step outside of these doors, don't miss seeing Jesus. See him when you engage in scripture. See him when you fellowship with other believers. And see him as you enter a blinded world that is shrouded in darkness, desperate in need of the light. Bring who Jesus is, what he did, and why it matters to the world. Be his light and bring his light. Don't miss seeing Jesus. And no matter what you're experiencing, seeing Jesus brings peace to it all. I had these lyrics that I always liked, and it's from a song by Lifeway, or Lifehouse. And it's called Storm, and I just wanted to read them because it's all about seeing Jesus no matter what's happening. And it says, "How long have I been in this storm, so overwhelmed by the ocean's shapeless form? Water's getting harder to tread with these waves crashing over my head. If I could just see you, everything would be all right. If I'd see you, this darkness would turn to light, and I will walk on water, and you will catch me if I fall, and I will get lost into your eyes. I know everything will be all right. I know everything will be all right. I know you didn't bring me out here to drown. So why am I 10 feet under and upside down? Barely surviving has become my purpose because I'm so used to living underneath the surface. And if I could just see you, everything would be all right. If I could see you, this darkness would turn to light. And I will walk on water, and you will catch me if I fall, and I will get lost into your eyes. I know everything will be all right. If I could just see you, everything would be all right." I know I've experienced a lot of storms. I know all of you probably have experienced all those storms, and the one thing that gets me through those is seeing Jesus and seeing who he is in that storm and seeing what he's doing in that storm and seeing why it matters. I don't always see it while I'm in there, but I know I need to grab onto seeing Jesus. I need to grab onto Jesus in that. And I do that when I engage Scripture. And I engage people a lot of times, and I ask them those three main questions because everything hinges on who he is, what he has done, and why it matters. So when you guys engage Scripture, see Jesus. When you guys go out, see Jesus. Just to see Jesus. It's so refreshing. Live out who he is, what he does, and why it matters. Be his light and bring his light. By seeing Jesus, you can do that. Engage the Scriptures. Engage other people with those truths. Let's pray. Holy Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity just to be in your church and to embrace your Son, to embrace Jesus. I thank you that you did not leave me blind. I thank you that you enabled faith in my life so that way I can see who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and why it matters. And Lord, I pray that you help everyone in this room to see Christ, to see Jesus. Help us to live out the glory that we are a part of, whether we are downtrodden or whether we are on a mountaintop because we're so intimate with you, Lord. Help us, no matter where we're at, to continue to embrace you and to see you, to see Jesus. May that bring us this joy that is unquenchable. May that bring us the power that can overcome this world. Just by seeing and embracing Jesus. Lord, help us to bring the light of Christ to those that we're praying for, to our 3 or 10. Help us to bring Jesus, to just be that light in the world that you have us. Amen.